Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 289 of the 8-Bit Geek. If this is your first episode with us, let me clue you in on what it's like around here. It's kind of like being a Dallas Cowboys fan. Let me explain.
Oh.
You know, at the start of the season, you're so excited as the new team comes together, and you know, you're excited to see them play, and everyone's talking Super Bowl, and then it starts to happen. Cowboys ultimately start to disappoint as they pretty much lose every game, or pretty close to it. I mean, sure, they win one, and you think it's about to turn around, and all is back on track, but you know it'll happen. Deep down, you know they'll fail. And then they do. Another season down the drain. I'm Jeremy, and with me are two men who's...
Well, I'm sorry. You wanna finish that one there, buddy? Oh, God, no.
I'm Jeremy, and with me are two men whose back vaginas get moist when you mention the Cowboys.
Such a word, moist.
Does that mean I shit myself when you mention the Cowboys?
I mean,
I shit myself for other reasons than that. I shit for pettier reasons, really. But I'm Kevin.
And I'm Michael.
From?
From Divas, Dropkicks, and Dives.
And?
And? In this show.
Didn't expect that one.
No, I was caught off completely off guard.
Let's see. Mike is here because Doug is MIA with a new baby, so we had Mike come on over and fill in for us, and so that way we could still have a show this week. Kev, you may not be able to fix it. The stream are saying that you sound like a robot. I don't know why.
Now?
I don't know why, but
because it was set to default for some reason. Is that good?
Motherfucker.
Stream.
But we're excited to get this show going. It may be a little rough around the edges.
Cool.
You know, I know that whenever somebody new comes in that isn't like a, you know, it's not like a, I don't know, Mike, you're going to do great, right?
Wait, no pressure. No pressure whatsoever. No.
Yeah, especially that. Yeah, you do it.
Yeah, it's a little different, but that's okay. I will
Are you nervous?
I'm not nervous.
You're not nervous that all these people are watching and they're going to judge you
and
say,
they finally know what you look like, because they never get to see you unless they go to a con.
Put a face to a name, yeah.
Yeah.
No, because at the very worst, I'm going to be so bad, I'm going to get booed off the island, and Doug will be back here next week anyways.
Yeah.
So
we'll see, man. That guy, I mean, he's starting to grow a beard because he's getting no sleep. Yeah. He's actually sleeping right now as we speak.
His beard's growing a beard.
His beard is growing a beard.
The chat is saying that you need a beard.
Y'all, I have the Joe Dirt problem. My facial hair grows in all white trashy, and there's just these two strips, like right here and kind of up here, that
nobody can see that.
Oh, I know, I'm hiding behind.
This is still a podcast.
Oh yeah,
I'm just trying to hide this horrificness. No, I can't grow facial hair correctly. Trust me, the wife would love it if I could, but I cannot.
I just learned that you've been with your wife for 17 years.
17 yeah. years. Married. Legally married for 17 years. But we've been together for a little more than 20.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats. Ashley and I are celebrating our 10-year anniversary.
Aww.
We've been together for 10 years, and we've been married for like, I don't know, 6, 7, somewhere around there. Okay.
Debbie and I have been together for 8, married for 5.
Nice.
So... But we got married because we're super fucking lazy. We got married on the same day as our first date, so we didn't have to worry about different anniversaries. So June 10th is just like officially, it's just the day.
We don't exactly know when our anniversary is. we both just kind of like, all right, well, we got together around the end of October, so I guess that's when we first got together. Like, we know our marriage date, but I don't know.
So you probably just don't celebrate that one then, or maybe just like a October celebration of
sorts? No, we celebrate October, and we celebrate the marriage, I guess. But we don't do anything huge. We're not like big, like, oh, look at this significant date. You know, we do something like dinner or something, but more or less, we'd rather take a trip than to blow money on something stupid.
Makes sense. No, I mean, we always try to take some big tricks. Remember last year we went to Alaska, this year we went to Colorado.
I loved Alaska. I can't wait to go back.
Dude, it is beautiful. I can't recommend it enough. Franca's living there right now. Sorry to blow up your spot, but she knows. It's so gorgeous out there. It's so, so beautiful. If you ever get a chance to visit Alaska, please do not skip out on that. It's some of the cleanest air you'll ever smell. It's beautiful, like mountains for days. And it's just the vibe there is so low key. Everyone's just happy to be there. A lot of the people that live there basically went on vacation and just stayed. Like, I mean, it's totally a legit living place. I loved it. Also, by the way, quick last Byron. Byron resubscribed for 3 months in a row. Give it to us, Mike. He did it. He's one of us. He's already better than Doug, because Doug never does it.
He does it on occasion, but Mike, that was a little dry, man. You need to wet it up next time.
Wet it up.
I'm not a pro. I'm new to this.
Okay. You'll get used to it.
Not what I've heard.
If you guys
don't even have the hip hop horn button.
Yeah, we don't. That is not like a hey, let's do it every time something happens. It has to be special.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have a horn for that. If you like what you're hearing so far, if this is your first time and you're like, you know what, I'm gonna give these guys another chance, you can do so over at Audio Boom. They are our sponsor. They provide the bandwidth for all of this stuff to go out to all the fans. So thank you so much, Audio Boom. If you don't want to head over there to listen to the show, well, you could find us on different places like Spotify, cool, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, and everywhere else that you would find a podcast. We're also on social media at the 8-Bit Geek, and of course we record live every Monday night on Twitch, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Come see us, hang out, and say hi in the chat. If you can't make it to a live show, but you still want to say hi in a chat, then you can do so through Discord. It's a wonderful gaming app / chat app / video conferencing / play games together / store kitchen sink. It's going to do everything.
It's a meme receptacle.
Mm-hmm.
That's very true.
And it's free. You can download it and then hang out with us. We have all that information on the website if you want to go and check it out. So, we have a couple other shows on the network if you want to listen to them. If you like this show, you may like them. We have 8-Bit Saga, Divas Drop Kicks and Dives, and Brayberry Tarts. Go check them out. And of course,
we're taking over. This is Divas Drop Kicks and Geeks right here.
Yeah, that's true.
Drop Kicks and Dives.
Drop Geeks and
I also want to let you guys know that we started a new daily show. Yes. We do have a new podcast out there. It is Patreon only. Doug, Kevin, and myself are putting on a daily show. You'll get about to, 15, 20 minutes of content every day through that. And it's a lot of fun for us to put out to you guys. We did put it out for our Patreon subscribers we introduced a new tier. We wanted something to fall into the 5 p.m., the $5 and in between the $25 tier that we have. So for $10 a month, you can get the daily show. It's called The Diner. And the people who are listening to it have nothing but great reviews. They all say it's great.
And if you don't, let us know, because obviously we always want to improve.
Chat's trying to throw me off the boat already and get Deb on here. Shit.
Oh, really? What are they saying?
Love y'all. Yeah.
Is she home tonight?
Yeah, she's home. She's in the other room.
Okay, cool. Could she come in for a minute? No, I'm just kidding.
Hey,
no.
can you just go ahead and sub her? Just tag her in.
Tag out. No.
Fuck y'all. I'm out.
Oh, we love you, Mike.
I know.
Yeah, but go get your wife. So if you want to be a part of that with Patreon, you could do so. Head on over there. All that info is on the website as well. Patreon is a wonderful tool that we'll use and that we use to support the network. All the money that we get for it goes right back into it. So we want to thank everybody who does support us through there, and we're just trying to give you more content. Okay. We also have 8-Bit Horror Fest. Kev?
Yeah. This week we watched.
Oh, you don't have that info in front of you?
Leprechaun 4.
No, nope, that's incorrect. We watched
week we watched Leprechaun 4.
Yeah, that's what we watched last week.
This
Critters week 4 is this week.
Critters 4.
Uh-huh. And I guess we're supposed to on. So that's coming out on Wednesday. We're watching Critters 4, so you can expect that review. On Friday, we're supposed to get something from Caleb and Ryan, but I don't know if we're going to get that. So we'll see. But Ryan, I did call him out on the show here. So there's more pressure for them to actually finish it. So finish it. Let's see. What do we got? We got misconnections, guys. So this week, misconnections. Kev, you're gonna go first. I'm second. Ooh. And then Mike's gonna pull up the rear. Okay.
Oh, okay.
That's good.
All right. So what?
Okay. I was gonna say about the bit war and stuff like that. Or are you gonna talk about it?
So yeah, the bit war, it's pretty interesting because what we decided to do with misconnections was people kept on doing these bit wars, so we thought we'd make it fun. So we've been doing it for a couple weeks now, and whoever gets first place in the bit war by the end of the show gets first choice at what voice that we get to talk on the episode, and second place and third place, so on. Last week, Kev, somebody said that they wanted you to talk as Nixon
from Futurama. So from it's like a Futurama parody of the actual Nixon. Mm-hmm.
Then I got voted to do Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit.
Oh no. Does Mike get to dropkick you?
And then Mike is, since he's new here, he's got a random one.
Dealer's choice.
So what is misconnections? If it's your first time here, we take real ads from the misconnection section of Craigslist. We read them in funny voices. They are completely real. We don't edit them in any way, although we do ad lib a little bit, but we definitely can't make this stuff up.
Boy sees girl. Boy is interested in girl. Boy awkwardly stares at girl from across the room. Boy never approaches girl. Girl leaves. Boy swears they are meant for one another. Boy turns to Craigslist for help finding girl. 8-Bit Geek steps in. Welcome to Misconnections.
All right, Mr. Nixon.
That was almost perfect, by the way. There was like very little drops in that one. I have to say, I was quite proud of that drop this night. With that said, Mr. President.
Hello, everybody.
Okay.
Richard Nixon here.
Sure, this is just Alex
Definitely not
Jones.
Alex Jones. Who's Alex Jones? He was a baby when I was the president. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
My fellow geeks and Americans and people all over the world. Welcome to my misconnection.
God.
You know, Mr. President, I never thought I would say this, but please come back.
Thank you, son.
Yeah.
Wait, what? I'm just ahead at this point. But some could say I've been ahead of the game.
God.
So, anyway, let's move to Alaska. Mail for women. Hello, I'm a 55-year-old man. Or should I say, young guy. I'm looking for a wonderful woman to move to Alaska with me and live off the land. Let's make our own reality show. Come join me in the... Oh, my God, I didn't add a period to this, so I'm going to start this over. This is going to be... Well, just take a couple breaths. I'm going to breathe all the water in this jar that I'm in. I'm a 55-year-old man, or should I say young guy. I'm looking for a wonderful woman to move to Alaska with me and live off the land, and let's make our own reality show. Come join me in the wilderness. Hopefully you're into freaky sex. Call if you're interested. Also, must love children. Come on, let's go get your call. Future hubby, think it wouldn't be Alaska. Would be awesome. Build it all on our own. Fuck our brains out and have a blast of maybe some children, and we'll come out of the situation. It's nice to dream. You never know. Hat God in store for, to my future sweetheart. Dial that number. Fred Durst. What?
Oh. Oh gosh,
you have to work hard to become the president of the United States. There's a reason why they preserved my head.
That was good.
I'm not a crook, nor am I getting laid in Alaska this time.
Oh man, all right, here we go. Oh.
What the hell was that? Did he just fall out the window?
Oh baby, Fred Durst, baby! What's up, guys?
You sound like a crossover between Fred Durst and the lead singer of the B-52s.
Oh,
Fred Durst, baby!
Fred Durst in the house! Oh, somebody turned on the clean lyrics.
Yeah, I was like, how did you censor yourself?
Oh, here we go! I've got two... count them two, baby. Oh, no. I seen you eating cat food. Oh. Limp Bizkit in the house.
Oh, no.
Seen you eating cat food out of a can. You was using a fork. Oh. Looks like you got some manners. I like that.
What? What? Oh, God. Was that it?
No.
No.
I've always got more, baby. Oh, no. Right in the can.
I don't think he's ever said baby like that.
Here we go with Method Man. Oh, that was long ago. To the mother and the daughter, posing for pictures with the drunk guy. He was dead.
What? What?
Yeah. He may have looked just drunk, but he was indeed a corpse. Baby, 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 baby. You posed next to him, thinking it would be a funny memory.
What? Memory? Ah, whatever.
Of your time in New Orleans, baby!
God damn it.
And now you have a picture of you two with a deceased man. Fred Durst, mic drop, baby!
Oh my God.
Kevin, that's why he got drop kicked.
Yeah, there's reasons why Shaggy 2-Dub drop kicked him in front of a crowd.
Now we know why.
He missed me, thank you. That fool got dragged off stage. Because let me tell you, either you die a hero or you live long enough to become the villain.
No, he was always the villain. Let's be real here.
Baby!
Before we get to Mike, I want to say happy birthday to Lucy Stage Tech today, by the way. She just resubscribed for 9 months in a row. Said 9 months, and I turned 24 yesterday. Getting to watch live this week is kind of like a birthday present. Thanks for keeping me laughing, guys.
Aw, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Lucy.
Happy birthday. You are awesome. Happy.
And then also the bit war is ignited. Random Heroes going for 2 weeks in a row. He donated 101 bits while Ratty's sliding right behind him at one.
Hey, Jared, do me a favor. Before Fred Durst leaves, will you tell him he still owes me $80?
I'm sorry. I've got some... This microphone, I can't hear anything out of it.
You're not supposed to hear out of a microphone.
Hello?
God damn it.
Hello? I gotta go, guys. Guys.
He would cop out. I'm coming for my $80, Fred. You watch.
I don't even know what that means, but I'm interested.
Kev, I thought I told you this story.
No.
Have I not told you all the story? Yeah, Fred Durst owes me $80.
Okay. Right, we'll get to that in the
I want to hear this story, though.
Yeah.
We'll hear it in the post show.
Yeah. Or do you want to? Yeah.
We'll do it in the post show. We're in misconnection land right now.
Yeah. Okay. But I want to hear the story.
You will hear it at the fucking post show. I'm gonna turn this podcast right around.
Chat, don't let me forget to share the Fred Durst story in the post show.
Yeah.
But I want to hear it now.
But you want to hear it now. Hmm? Okay. All right. So it took a lot of effort for me to get my friend to come on the show, but he's happy to be here. So, you know, just treat him well with you.
Okay.
Is it Fred Durst?
No, it's somebody a lot cooler than Fred Durst.
So anybody.
Can I get over here?
Oh, he's going full character.
Whoa.
How's it going, y'all?
Hey, buddy.
If you would allow me to introduce myself, my name's Dirty Money Kenny.
Sorry, what?
Yeah.
You say Dirty Money Kenny?
Dirty Money Kenny, that's right. Oh. Now, I'm out here pushing a special genre of music. I'm part of the Easy Listening Rap Game.
Oh, Oh, really?
So, can we get a sample?
Well, yes. I've got some lines for you.
Okay.
This is my new album where I've got Kenny G sampling with me. It's called Too Many Games.
Sorry, what?
It's called
See, he's got this coughing problem, so he's got a respiratory problem.
It comes in fits. I'm sorry, y'all. It's called Too Many Kennies.
Too Many Kennies.
Yes.
So. I mean, I'm pre-ordering it on
I don't think he's going to be able to get through this.
No. This is my debut. I got to get through this. So. Me.
Oh, don't do that into a microphone, Michael. That is a mic no-no. You don't snort your snot. It's the most disgusting sound.
You're not helping, Jared.
Are you new?
Kenny, get back here.
That wasn't Mike. That was Kenny, by the way, yeah. Who did that.
Don't you embarrass me like that, Jared. And
that's famous producer Kenny fucking hot stuff strips or whatever.
I'm sorry, Jared. I don't mean to be so rude.
That's all right, Kenny. Go ahead.
All right. My name's Dirty Money Kenny, and I'm the best. All the other rappers are...
I'm sorry? Oh, my God. This is like... This is like a bad car crash.
It really
you
is.
Just can't look away. The flames...
You're not helping me, Jer.
The flames keep burning. If you were on Death Comedy Jam right now, they'd be booing you off stage.
Please tell me you called it Death Comedy Jam.
That's what I heard.
Really, Jer?
Well, I said deaf.
His wife ain't helping me. All right. Take two. My name's Dirty Money Kenny, and I'm the best. All the other rappers are just the rest. I'm telling the truth. Don't call me a liar, or I'll set your motherfucking house on fire.
Whoa. That's a good turn.
I apologize. I don't mean to be so crass. It's just trying to keep up appearances because I got to stay in the rap game. You know, the easy listening rap, it's taking a little bit more effort to get it over. So, if you don't believe me, you know where I'm at. You can cash me outside. How about that?
Oh, Kenny.
Bad dirty money.
So, yes. Well, you know, I like my bitches like I like my money. Dirty and shoved down in my pants. I can't afford a wallet, so it's just easy to keep all the money down there.
And Kenny, so. Reach your goddamn
weird disconnection.
Get out of here.
He's just selling his mixtape here.
Yeah. Buy my album, you'll find me on the nearest street corner. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the lousy sex, but it was your fault. For women. That's aggressive. It's 2018. You can't be aggressive like that. Okay. So, living room, ice clinking in our drinks, your lips glistening in the dim candlelight, a soft scent of fine perfume, a silent thunderstorm of desire. Ooh, I'm going to steal that for my album. Then you did the unimaginable. You poured the rest of your vodka and seven into the small plastic aquarium. Where my sea monkeys live. Oh, I love them so much. I panicked, but tried to look calm. You slid down the zipper of your slinky black dress, but I had one eye on the sea monkey village. As that vodka infused their magical little world. Fine satin underwear, you tossing back your long silky hair. I couldn't turn away from the turmoil that they were now experiencing. Stumbling through their little sea monkey village, singing firework loud and off key, yelling, I love you, man, down the streets of Sea Monkey Village. I was distracted. I couldn't focus on what we were doing. I know it wasn't good, but can I get a do-over, please?
Wow.
DMK out.
Oh, man. Well, what a debut.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right?
That might become a fan favorite.
Everybody, Velvet Jones here. I just wanted to come and say conversations.
There it is.
Thank you.
There it is.
Velvet.
Golly. Well, I think you won the crowd back. I mean, the chat was calling in the middle of you, you know, kind of.
It was like Guitar Hero, where you started off like hitting, missing 15 like notes, and then you started slowly working your way back as the meter rose.
It was, and but while you were hitting those 15 notes, and everyone was booing, they were calling for Deb to come in. They were like, "Get Deb!"
You know, my internal monologue was screaming for Debbie to come over and help. So
she was like, "You're on your own."
She's in there laughing.
This all I could think of was the time that somebody put you on camera and you said, "Look at that beard."
Oh God! Well, see, this is the second time I've like ruined myself on Twitch.
That was Twitch. Yeah, you're right.
That was Twitch. That
Much
was live.
Viewers.
God, it was so funny.
There's only like 20 viewers here. There was about 20,000 in that one.
Hey, way to give out our numbers, Kev.
I mean, it's right here in the. Oh, that's wait. True. Oh, yeah. I mean, like 20K viewers.
So, this week in the top box office. Let's talk about that. Let's bring it up. Let's see. Halloween takes the number one spot, making $77.5 million. It is the number one Halloween movie that's ever been released. Anything before that, I think, made like $22 million. It's also the highest grossing slasher film of all time. And it's also the second highest grossing R-rated horror film of all time. Not of all time, released this year, last year, of all time. It is number one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I can see that because it made bank at the theater. So I can see that.
So
Halloween was awesome. You saw it, right, Jer?
Oh yeah. Me too. Absolutely loved this film. It was such a great way to kind of not only go back to its roots, but also freshen it up for 2018. I think they did a fantastic job of, they've learned from, A Quiet Place, it seemed, to where they use silence as to just provoke fear. And it just hung there. The silence just hung there and waited for you. And then it finally assaulted your senses. And with Jason doing a jump scare, and it's just like Michael Myers doing a jump scare. And then you're just
like how you went through the whole lineup. You went Jason, Freddy, Michael.
And so it absolutely a great movie. And I highly recommend it. And I'll probably get a sequel.
Yeah, I mean without spoiling it, there was a way to keep it the story open. Yeah,
for sure.
And it was very interesting.
I think you're thinking differently than I am about the sequel.
The sequel, which one are you talking about? Like
if
any
they
of
did
the
a sequel, if they did a sequel to this film.
Oh yeah, I mean if they did a sequel to this film,
I think that you're thinking something other than. I'm thinking that you're not thinking of Michael Myers being the enemy.
It could be a next generation, is what I'm saying.
I don't think they'll do that. It's you can't do that.
Maybe. Who knows? But I want to say Random Hero just donated $19 with no message. But that brings our total up to $18.69.
Nice.
Thanks,
so,
Random.
I really loved the film. So go see it. Coming to number two is A Star Is Born, making $19 million for a total
third weekend
of $126 million. So
yeah, that's pretty good. I've heard good things about that, actually. I heard it was a pretty fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
Not fun movie, but a good movie. And Lady Gaga, I saw her in American Horror Story, and she was fantastic in that. So
she's
I'm not surprised that, like, she's really good in this.
Yeah. Well, think about it. She's been dressing up and playing a role for her whole fucking adult singing career. You know?
Yeah.
So she's been prepping for this.
Mm-hmm. And, I think this is right up her alley. I think this is exactly. I mean, it's just she was kind of made for this role. Yeah. So it's cool.
I think Mike thinks the same thing too.
Yeah. Deb and I plan on going and seeing it sometime this week.
Nice.
There he is.
Let us know.
There he is. Okay, so let's get into some movie news. Movie Pass's parent company is under investigation for fraud.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
The company's going downhill so fast.
Yeah. There's so much shit going down with this company that I would not be surprised if it's not going to last another year, right?
I don't think it's going to last another month.
Dude,
how is it?
True.
Like, have you got any weird emails or anything lately? Remember, What was the thing that happened last week to you? Did that ever get resolved?
I didn't go through MoviePass to get my MoviePass. So I think I'm safe from all that activation because I never gave them my credit card number. Everything was through Costco when I bought it. So I'm pretty safe, I think. So, but if you are looking for like a MoviePass type service, I think it's called Cinemia. I don't fucking know. Look it up.
Yeah. There's so many of them that, like I said, this is the one. I mean, there's always going to be like how OnLive was like the first streaming service for like video games. And mm-hmm. now it didn't take off, but now other brands are flourishing from it. It seems like this was MoviePass. MoviePass was kind of like the first of its kind to do this. And now everyone's kind of perfecting the recipe there.
Yeah.
Like movie theaters themselves are kind of cashing in on that and looking for their own niche. So.
I believe it. Speaking of niches,
going away.
Speaking of niches, it looks like a Marvel series on Netflix. It's just kind of a niche market because all of them are going away except for Daredevil. Luke Cage has just been canceled.
Punisher's still up.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
they haven't canceled it yet.
They haven't punished it yet.
Yeah, Jessica Jones. They haven't said anything about it. The only ones they said was Iron Fist and Luke Cage so far.
The only thing I read on this was that it wasn't like it wasn't because of poor ratings or like even poor creative or anything like that. It was just kind of some sort of creative argument between Netflix and Disney or Marvel, I should say.
Probably Disney, but I mean the whole speculation of the whole thing is going to be that Disney is, you know, once they start their streaming service, they're going to get Luke Cage and Iron Fist back as a show for Heroes for Hire. That's what seems to be the plan, which makes perfect sense on why Iron Fist and Luke Cage both get canceled within like a week's notice of each other. So I can definitely see that happening. Disney needs some power hitters to get their streaming service off the ground. And I think both of those guys, especially Iron Fist coming off of season 2, from what I hear, was an amazing end. So I could definitely picture why they're going out with momentum and then coming into Disney and they're going to just fire off with this.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that I don't think that these two are the big hitters that are going to bring people into the Disney streaming service.
I mean, I think it'll be part of it though.
It'll be nice to have, but I think that, they're pulling out all the stops for some pretty fucking huge hitters. Like they're doing a Loki TV series, and they're also doing a what's her name with the weird abilities where she does this all the time?
Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, Scarlet Witch. And she's
are they going to actually retain the same actress, actress and actor?
Yes, sir.
Good. Thank you for not being DC. They're Marvel.
So they're getting their own TV shows.
People for the pod.
And they're going to bring back the big-time actors for the show. So that'll be good. And then, of course, you got the Star Wars show that they're also launching, The Mandalorian. So I think those are your huge tentpole shows that are going to bring people in. And then I think, of course, they'll sprinkle in. Not saying that Iron Fist or Luke Cage are not big shows. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that they're not as, prolific as maybe something with a...
Well, of course, but... So. Like I said, I think at this point they just need something. So I think, I don't know. I think it stands true. I think we're going to see Heroes for Hire on the Disney streaming.
That'd be fun.
Or whatever it is.
Well, it looks like, did you guys know that Jet Li turned down a role in The Matrix?
I heard this.
I never knew this. This was new to me this week. And, you know, because The Matrix is how old now? And it came out in, the original came out in 99. And so.
Okay.
I thought there wasn't anything new, no new news for this series ever again. But looking back, yeah, he was offered a role in both sequels, but he turned it down because of the fact that they wanted to film him for 3 months prior, 3 months with the crew, and then with regular shooting, and then 9 months without, so that way they can record and copy all of his moves into a digital library. And at the end of the recording, the rights would be, all of his moves would be copyrighted by Warner Brothers.
Weird.
And so he would have lost all of his signature moves, everything that he's learned. And he was like, yeah, I'm not down with that. So he turned.
Yeah, why would somebody that's basically ending a career? Because what are you going to do after that? You can't do anything in a movie without like infringing on that gimmick or whatever, that it was originally yours, but you signed it away.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think anyone in their right mind, unless they were obviously hurting for money, would do that. And Jet Li has never been hurting for money, I don't think. It's interesting to note that too, that he was going to play Seraph, which was in The Matrix Reloaded and Matrix Revolutions. If you didn't know too, he was also, because he was the, I believe that was the partner to Jada Pinkett Smith, and those were in the video games, the PS2 and Xbox Matrix games, which were actually kind of fun.
I
mean, they had like exclusive movie footage that wasn't, because it was like they filmed all that stuff just for the video games. So he would have probably had a part in the video games as well.
Yep.
So it's
interesting. And they probably would have used all of his moves for the video game.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet. And you know what? And it's kind of weird thinking about it, because going back, there was a game, I don't know if it was called like For Honor, but it was Jet Li something Honor, and it was on the PS2, and it was a Jet Li adventure fighting games, kind of similar to The Matrix.
Rise
to Honor.
So I wonder
if that had any relativity.
It was called Rise to Honor.
Rise to Honor. Thank you. So there was like a specific Jet Li game. I wonder if they were maybe about to start that stuff, and since he didn't sign on, they were like, fuck it, we'll get this other actor to do it. But hey, you want to do this game and you can retain all you want. So I don't know if it was the same developers or anything like that, but it just seems really interesting that he would turn that down with the video game option and then go ahead and do his own video game. Mm-hmm. So
Looks like we are going to get a new NYPD Blue. It's a reboot. It's on the way, guys.
Oh man, do we get to see Homeboy's ass again?
Were you guys
Dennis Franz, Andy Sipkowitz?
This is such a huge. This was such a huge show.
Yeah.
Are you guys excited about that, or don't care? Or?
I don't really care.
No, I'm apparently one of like 12 Americans who isn't into cop dramas.
Yeah,
I'm one of those. Don't do it for me.
If it had metal. A metal music soundtrack, would you be into cop dramas?
You know, if Danzig was a cop, I would watch that.
He would just get laid out by everybody. The guy's fucking vanity muscles. Oh, sorry.
He'd be accusing everybody's mother.
Great. Now, yeah, the cops could be, I told their children not to walk my way.
All right, let's get into some video games here, which is going to be a lot of fun, because Nike has done something that it hasn't done before. This is actually a huge announcement. Like, fucking huge announcement. Nike has signed its first esports player.
Yeah.
To a fucking contract, which is crazy. 21-year-old League of Legends star. Oh, boy. Not gonna sit.
Jean Uzi Xiao.
Nope, that's not even it. But it's close. We'll just call him Uzi.
Okay, Uzi.
So Uzi,
but he goes by Jean, his real name is Jean.
The new deal puts Uzi as a part of the dribble and marketing team for LeBron James' upcoming Showtime documentary series called Shut Up and Dribble.
Oh God, what a ripoff.
So
you know, I know we don't have a lot of sports nuts on here, but seeing LeBron James go from like basketball player to media mogul is like kind of interesting and scary all at the same time.
Oh, I mean, he's trying to copy Michael Jordan's legacy, so that's what you got to go next to.
Basically.
Have you guys watched his show on HBO? It's really fucking good. It's called The Shop.
No, I haven't.
Is that the one where Drake was on there and Drake was like telling him like all this stuff? He's acting like Drake's dad.
It's
like, why did you tell him that? And what did you think was going to happen? really weird.
Episode 2 just came out on October 12th, but they're sitting in a barbershop just chatting away, and it is really, really good. Like, I highly recommend it if you are interested in any kind of music or pop culture, any kind of sports and stuff like that, because they have a lot of people going in there and just chopping it up. It's really, really fucking good.
Okay. So it's like a visual podcast with LeBron James.
Yeah.
And whatever guest he has. Okay. Yeah. I just have a problem with the show, or the show name, Shut Up and Dribble, because it just reminds me of Shut Up and Jam, like Charles Barkley. And it's like, oh, that's a little too close right there, buddy.
It was a fun, bad basketball game.
It was. Also, though, there was a RPG that was fan-made that came out later called Charles Barkley's Shut Up and Jam Gaiden. and it was like an old school like Final Fantasy VI RPG, and it was the fucking best. The whole story behind it was Charles Barkley dunked so hard that he killed like 6 million people. Like he destroyed a population in New York. So where basketball was banned thereafter. And so like Michael Jordan and Larry Bird, or Michael Jordan was a detective and he kept trying to hunt down Charles Barkley, or he's like, you can't dunk anymore, Charles. I told you not to do it. Basketball.
This is a banned. Real game.
This is a real game.
Yeah.
Look up online. It's free to play. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's still free to play. This is one of those games you download from like a website, but it's called Charles Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden, like Ninja Gaiden.
So where does Shaq Fu fit into his story then?
Oh man, that's not canon in this story. But Charles Barkley's quote unquote son is in the game named Hoops Barkley, and it's called the Hoops Barkley Saga Part 1. They did make a part 2 that they did Kickstarter for. I don't know if it ever came out though, because so you know, cool. A lot of the projects like that get kicked to the side there. But it is a hilarious undertaking. It's really funny, and it plays like an old school RPG, like from Super Nintendo days. And it, like I said, free to play. You'll have a blast. I don't know why I'm trying to sell you on a game that's like over 10 years old.
Please do. Please do. I want to play it.
Love it.
Somebody in the comments just said, just asked an interesting question. I'm going to look it up. Amanda is a jerk. Just said, wasn't LeBron James told by Trump to shut up and dribble? Makes sense. Why?
I think that's correct.
Oh, if that, I mean, you know what? I'll go with it. I mean, either way, it is what it is. But yeah, I mean, if he named it out of spite from that, that's cool. I'm good.
Laura Ingram.
Oh yeah.
She's the one who said, told LeBron to shut up and dribble after Donald Trump, criticism from the president.
Yeah.
So let's keep it that name. That's a cool name. I like it. Okay. So here's, I thought this would be fun since Mike is such the big Rockstar fanboy, lives and breathes for everything Rockstar, but who doesn't, right? I mean, everybody loves what they put out, but Rockstar's staff has been coming out for and against Rockstar's practices. You know, some people are frustrated because they say it's a hellish place to work with long hours and little rewards, but then some employees are coming out and saying, that's not true. We are treated very well. But then some other anonymous developers with the company say, well, that's true for like some areas of the company. And then some get the short end of the stick. Thoughts, gentlemen?
Well, this has been a huge topic. Mike, you want to go first?
Sure. I'll say this. Like, I do love Rockstar's games. There's pretty much every one that comes out since GTA 3 probably has been like a tentpole game. It's been like a big event.
AAA title, yeah.
So like I love their stuff. But that being said, you know, I want to play them, but I don't want to play them, you know, at the for the developers and the people making the game, I don't want them sacrificing their entire lives to make something for me to enjoy. Like, I'm not entitled to that. And I hate that part of gaming culture. The people that will do like review bombs and have been harassing like the Telltale Games developers to like finish that game for free. Mm-hmm. The entitlement crap is ridiculous. Like, these are people who are doing their job. You know, they're like anybody else doing their job. They're entitled to go home, leave work at home, and go enjoy their families and enjoy themselves and recover and be healthy. Like, I want that. I want everybody in the world to have like a healthy lifestyle and have a healthy work home balance. Mm-hmm. So I hate the thought of crunch. I know it's on a much smaller scale, but Kevin can attest to it. You know, we were both store managers for GameStop, mm-hmm. and because we were salary, I don't know how it was for you, Kev, but for like me, my minimum was like 48 hours a week. Yeah, and then during the holidays, 44. Yeah. And then maybe it was 44. But like during the holidays, it would bump up to like 55, 60 hours a week, mm-hmm. kind of thing. And that stuff sucked. And yep. I mean, that's retail. There are people that work far more in retail. But I just, to me, it's not them dealing with that mental stress and in some cases anguish, like that's not worth it for me to enjoy a game. I think I'm kind of in the camp that crunches, you know, I know it comes up, but it's generally poor management. Mm-hmm. Or time management or people management or something.
Or like, it's the publisher promising a date that couldn't have been arranged in the first place.
Now, if they want to offer overtime to people, say, hey, you know, if you want to throw them double time or double time and a half or whatever, it voluntarily, fucking go for it. But I do get that office culture of like, oh, well, you know, Kevin's working 70 hours this week. If I want to be a team player, I better work 70 hours with him too. Like, that stuff sucks, and that'll just break a person down. Like, I don't want that.
I'm just, it just all comes down to the culture of the company, and I think Rockstar, on the most part, would be pretty laid back. It seems like when this first story got out, the Hauser brothers were basically talking about themselves, however they didn't specify, thus why they had to kind of redact their comment and say, look, or at least like explain their comment and said, it's more for the writing staff and the story guys, basically like the heads, like the Hauser brothers and like the people that are in the top of the mountain there in Rockstar. They were the ones who apparently spent the most time crunching and story planning, while, you know, developers and everything, they were, I think they had the voluntary option. And I think a lot of them, because I mean, once again, all this, once the story broke out, then kind of Rockstar sent this, once they lifted like the ban on the staff being able to talk about their experiences at Rockstar, I think a lot of people came out and kind of like in favor of Rockstar, the employees.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were saying in this, like, I think it just got blown out of proportion, and I think just words were misunderstood. Although it's not saying that this doesn't happen throughout this industry. I'm sure this happens more often than not, and this is hopefully an unintentional whistleblow. And maybe this will mean other companies that have been doing this but have not been on the news about it, maybe hopefully they are proactive and start to treat their employees better and get ahead of this before it becomes a PR nightmare. And what it is for Rockstar right now, however, you know, once again, they're kind of like just digging themselves out of it.
Yeah, I think I think you could see a lot of the responses, or that, you know, a lot of people said that, you know, I was never worked more than 50 hours a week, and we generally always got, you know, overtime pay. And so I think it's important. I think that for bigger companies like this, mm-hmm. who can afford to take more time or take as much time as they want with a game, you're not going to get that kind of crunch time. I think it's mm-hmm. the smaller developers who have to rush out a game and don't want to delay because it's going to cost more money. And they're just like, everyone fucking heads down and let's get it out. Let's get it done.
Well, and once again, also too, just when you're a developer and you have a bigger publisher that already sets the date, obviously then that's when there's going to be a crunch because you have to have it done by that time. I think indie developers obviously their staff's much smaller, but they might have a little bit more leeway on time because no one's really anticipating it as much as they would in a AAA title such as a Call of Duty or a Madden.
Yeah,
or
but that's the thing is, you know, like those big time companies can afford to make a delay if they need to. Like a smaller company, it costs a ton of fucking money.
But keyword can, but will they? That's the thing.
Well, and Rockstar really will.
That's Rockstar has on many occasions. Yeah.
And so will by the time their Bethesda product comes out, and so Bethesda will do it, and all Nintendo does it all the time to make sure that
Nintendo
is
probably
great.
The best at it, because it's rare that you'll get a Nintendo game that's broken on day one.
Right.
Bethesda, it's a guarantee. Grand Theft Auto, it's a guarantee. Or like, I'm sorry, Rockstar games, usually it's a guarantee, because you have these open world sandboxes. It's really hard to QA everything. So, but the thing is, once again, if they were pressured to put something out, obviously there's going to be mistakes and everything like that. But it comes down to the crunch. It should be voluntary. A lot of companies should be doing that. If they are, that's on them. You know, that's on them to do it.
It's just,
but they don't.
Them.
They're not being legally binded to do it.
Yeah. Pay them the right wages to, if they're going to be working all those fucking hours.
Yeah.
Trusoco
just came in with 150 bits, taking the lead. Trusoco.
Trusoco.
Thanks.
Let's see. Rocket League's cross-platform parties have been pushed back until 2019, because they say, hey, we hope that Sony helps with this and allows us to open up crossplay, even though it took just a second for us to flip a switch and turn it on. Remember when he did that? When they did that? So yeah, they. I guess Sony's standing in the way of another game, trying to do something great for the gamers, but Sony's being a little bitch about it.
Well, it seems like at least Fortnite is working well. I don't know why it's taking them this long to monitor the situation and realize if it's a good thing for them and their business or whatever. I think Fortnite being able to open it up to other accounts, I started spending more money in Fortnite and I bought stuff from the PlayStation so they can be happy about it.
I don't know. It's insane to me. I mean, the cycle we're having, like, if you think back to how super successful the PlayStation 2 was and Sony had all this momentum riding into the PlayStation 3, and then the Xbox, you know, played second fiddle the whole time. But PS3 comes out, they announce like $599 and everybody's unhappy with that. The 360 does all this cool stuff and, you know, they kind of flip places. And then that leads into the PS4 and the Xbox One. And Microsoft, because they were riding so high, made a bunch of stupid decisions on the Xbox One. PS4 took advantage of that and then got this huge, huge jump. And I feel like now you're seeing Microsoft making all these consumer-friendly decisions and Sony making all these shitty kind of corporate decisions and being kind of tone-deaf to their audience, that when it seems almost inevitable to me that when the next consoles come out, like, Microsoft's going to get out ahead and Sony's the ones that are going to be kind of scrambling to catch up.
The only way that... Listen, you could say that all you want, but what it comes down to is the games. And if Microsoft doesn't have the games and wonderful first-party titles to back it up, then people will still buy the Sony consoles in droves. Like, it's...
Oh, I get that. Yeah. But I think you're also starting to see a lot of developers like, you know, Todd Howard and Bethesda coming out, kind of being critical of Sony, and a couple other companies being critical of Sony. Like,
they're
burning their goodwill is what I'm saying. And it's not like Sony's going to go away. I'm not talking like it's not that extreme. I'm just saying Sony's done this before. You would think they would have learned their lessons from their own mistakes, but they're not. They're just starting to repeat them all over again.
Well, that's what happens when you're on top. Like, when you're on top, you stop feeling the need to push the boundaries and to do things to get everyone on your side, because you are on top. And clearly they're going to win this. They already have with this whole console generation. But I mean, anybody who's a third party developer they're not going to be the ones that are going to go to one platform because the other is being a dick. Like, they're still going to develop for both platforms. So I can't say like, some third party people are like, you know, being critical of Sony over it, but it's not like they're going to be the ones to be like, oh, you know what, next generation, I'm just going to go Microsoft. No, they're still going to release for both.
It would be stupid of them to do that, because unless Microsoft pays them a shit ton of money.
So that's that's what I'm saying, that it's still like, even though if they make dumb decisions, the only way they fuck this up is if Sony was like, and did what Microsoft did and fire all the first party developers and just be like, you know what, we're going to count on the third party, which obviously failed.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't fire everyone, because I mean, they still have, you know, as far as their franchises, which is few and far between, but Forza, they still got Halo, they've still got Gears. They still have some franchises, just not as many as what Sony has been offering over in the PS4 generation.
Well, and let's be honest, that first party shopping spree that Microsoft's been on this year, it's not for Xbox One games. It's going to be for whatever the next console is, because it's going to take them that long to develop them anyways.
So. Right. And so that's what I'm saying, is that they finally, you know, over this past year, they've been doing the right thing. Microsoft has been like, oh shit, we do need our own games. So I'm on board. If you know what, the one game, all they need to do is to release the, and I'm back on board, and I'll buy, you know, I won't even need to buy it, 'cause it'll come out on PC, is a Fable, the next Fable game. Like, I will buy that day one. I will pre-order the $150 edition that comes with a stupid little trinket that doesn't mean anything.
Well, I don't know. I mean, and it's cool because, yeah, most likely it will be. I like that Windows or Microsoft is doing games that are play anywhere. I really enjoy that. And, I would do the same. I wouldn't buy the $150 version, but I would play it definitely again, because Fable was amazing.
In the chat, Deb says, but those third-party words have power with the public, with who determines who wins the next round. Sure. I mean, if you're gonna say, if one of them comes out and says they're not going to side with a company, they want you to buy it no matter what system you're on. So generally, third party companies don't come out in favor of one or the other.
Well, that's mostly true, but you've seen like this whole crossplay stuff that Sony's taken this long to get to. I mean, there before they made the decision to agree, there were some companies saying
three,
you know, that they weren't going to play if Sony wasn't going to play with them that way, then they just weren't going to put their game out on it.
Yeah.
And again, like I get painted as an Xbox fanboy, and the only reason I stuck with it is mainly because my investment in all my Rock Band downloadable content. That was, you know, we spent hundreds of dollars on music that I've been able to play for the last decade or so. That was the biggest thing that kept me in the Xbox ecosystem. Like, I totally get that they dropped the ball on the Xbox One out the gate, but I think they've done everything right to fix it. And I think they've got that upward momentum for when they announce that next console. And my concern, I want to see Sony do right by their audience. It makes me mad that they have 80 million PS4s out there, but they keep making decisions that don't benefit their customers, that benefit them. And for whatever reason, and there's a much deeper discussion to be had, but if you benefit your audience, you're going to benefit your business. Like, that's the smarter play. Why make these nitpicky decisions that you think is in your best interest? Because that's the whole crossplay thing has been about what's best for Sony. That's wrong. Do what's best for your audience, and they'll benefit you. They'll make up for whatever loss you think you're about to incur by opening your ecosystem up to outsiders. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, good God, how much money is Fortnite making damn near daily? And Sony's in, I bet you, like, Sony lost some money in that time frame that people were kind of abandoning playing Fortnite on their PlayStations and going to playing on PC or Switch. I mean, God, Nintendo's got to be making a killing off their, you know, their Fortnite sales.
Yeah. With that too, like, I mean, with the, with Sony finally opening it up for Fortnite, it freed a lot of people's accounts too. So people were afraid to play Fortnite on PS4 because of the fact that if they did it once, if they would have associated their Epic account with their Sony, it would immediately null all the other accounts, all the other systems that you're playing it on. And you can only play it on PC and PlayStation. And so your Xbox would be useless. Your Switch would be useless. I think mobile still works though. But either way, it was bullshit. And there's still, even though all it's cross-platform, there are still exclusive outfits to where if you go to select it, it'll say this is console exclusive to another console, so you can't select it. So they do have that still.
That's fair. I don't think they want like a Nathan Drake costume being available on Xbox.
That's what I was gonna say. That should be the caveat to this whole opening it up to all the platforms. It's like, if you want to open it to platforms, but you also want to keep people on yours, you should be able to, each system should be able to offer exclusive skins to get people to come to their side.
Listen, I think you guys think that everyone's fucking rich and that everyone's not like
everyone.
Well, everyone's not like, everybody doesn't have multi consoles or a PC and a console. Like, right. A lot of people out there only can afford one console.
I don't have a PS4.
I don't think that's that big of a debate about having your account locked to one place. And yeah, it's a problem, but I think, you know, there's 80 bajillion PS4s out there, and not all of them. I would say a good majority of them just have that. They're not playing it on a PC. They're not playing it on a Switch and on a PS4. I think a lot of people can only have that one thing.
Well, but I mean, one example you were, and maybe it's a minor one, you had parents who were buying Switches for their kids and wanting to play, you know, Fortnite with their kids alongside their kids, but they couldn't use their profile to play with them. So they would have to create like a whole new
Remember that time I had to play with you and I had to create a whole new profile there, Jer?
Yeah. So, I mean, I get what you're saying. You're right. But we are getting into a system where they're not so much worried about where you're playing your games. I mean, that's And again, it's a much deeper discussion than we want to have tonight, but that's what I like about Microsoft's forward thinking of, yeah, play it on Xbox, play it on PC. We don't give a rat's ass. You're just buying it from us and you're playing it wherever you want.
Well, that's because they own both.
Right.
And yes, it's a win-win for them.
Yeah, it's a win. It's totally
and,
win-win.
And then if they work alongside, like in this case, Nintendo, you know, I mean, they're boxing Sony out that way because Sony doesn't want to play ball.
Yeah.
So
it's a whole new world out there for everything when it comes to this open gaming. You know, Sony caved, and they will cave for the other cross play stuff as well. Like it's just the fact.
It's a matter of time.
It's a matter of time.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's get on to the next story. Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Yeah, I was gonna say, wow.
So it came out when it first came out. They had 70% positive ratings on the game right on Steam. Well, I guess the game hasn't been selling that well. And it already has a 34% discount on Steam. Mm-hmm. And people have been absolutely trashing the game, not because of the fact that it's a bad game, but because they feel ripped off that it was a month later, the game is already 34% off. And they feel like they should have waited, or they can't believe that, you know.
That's
it's just
on them. That's not on Square Enix or Crystal Dynamics or anything. That's on them for wanting to be the first person to play it and finish it. I don't think they understand how the economy works.
Yeah, I don't.
If something
don't
sell, people are going to try to drop price to sell.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Like, games go on sale all the damn time, and they go on sale usually pretty quickly.
Yeah,
I think a month after release is pretty fast. I don't think you see a sale that deep of a sale that quickly.
Any title that comes out in October.
I feel like
besides Red Dead, I will say, wait till Black Friday.
I feel like bucks. NBA 2K goes on sale like 2 weeks after it comes out.
Yeah, like I would say the 2K series.
Madden's done. I guess that's what threw me for a loop is I feel like this is commonplace.
Yeah,
that most games are 2-3 weeks after launch or are on sale. Wolfenstein did that.
Yes, Wolfenstein by Black Friday was already like $24.99 because I remember Debbie bought both Wolfenstein 1 and 2 for like $30 at Black Friday.
Yeah, so I was griping about entitled gamers earlier, and this kind of falls into that. Like I get feeling like you're, you know, bad that you got ripped off, quote unquote. You know, like I understand that, but I'm not a billionaire by any stretch, but you make the choice when to buy a game. You're not forced to buy it at launch. I bought the Ultimate Edition of Red Dead 2. I spent $100 on it. Not that Rockstar is known for putting their games on sale, but if
that will not go on sale.
Yeah. If it's on sale for like $80 or something, I'm not going to be mad. Yeah. I want to play that shit day one.
That's what it comes down to. Like I said, it's your choice to spend your money. Like Mike said, if you want to be the first one on the block to say you finish the game, that's the $60 you're going to pay. If you have the patience to wait till it goes to a cheaper price, that's good for you. You saved some money, but you're still going to get the same exact experience. As the $60 is going to be like, I got Tomb Raider when it first came out. I finished it over the weekend and I got my money's worth. I was happy. I don't think that I would ever feel like, I don't think I would ever.
Didn't you rent it though?
Yeah. I got my money's worth.
Fucking Kev.
I got my money's worth.
Fucking Kev.
But what I'm saying, okay. I'll say Uncharted 4 then. Or even Wolfenstein 2. Let's use Wolfenstein 2 as an example.
Right,
I bought that brand new, $60, finished it within a week, and then like I said, by Black Friday, it was already down to like half the price. I'm cool with that. I've got my experience out of it. To me, it was well worth paying $60. Supporting those developers, supporting Machine Games for making one hell of a fucking game.
It was an awesome game.
Yeah, they can take my $60. They can do whatever they want. I don't care because they earned it. If they're going to sell the same game for $40, I would recommend that to other people and say, look, the game's even cheaper now. You need to play this game. You need to experience it. And I say the same for Shadow of the Tomb Raider. If you had a chance to take advantage of the sale, I highly recommend it. it is up there with like Uncharted 4 as far as just environment and storytelling and everything like that. It was a really fun game to play. Go experience it if you could still get this discount. I mean, I wouldn't be mad. It's not like I'd be mad at you guys. Like if Jer went ahead and bought this game today, I'd be excited. I'd be excited for him. He's finally going to get to play it. I wouldn't feel ripped off at all. It's the price you pay, figuratively speaking and literally, for being an early adopter. Yeah. I mean, look at, you know, everything else that comes out. When systems first come out, they're at their maximum price, and then like a year later they'll drop. It's like you just have to expect that, dude. That's how the economy works.
Yeah.
I wish the economy worked like that with groceries. Oh guys, we just got
they gotta do.
I mean, if you want to wait a couple weeks to buy those bananas, you can probably get them cheaper than.
No, I want them out like they come out one day and then the next day 50% off. I want that. That's what I want.
Walmart's got a rack for that, dude.
Mm-mm.
They're like bakery rack where they got the yellow stickers on them, and you can get your like donuts for like 80 cents, yeah, or whatever, like a dozen donuts.
Do you know what the rack is called?
Mm.
It's called the cancer rack.
Oh God.
That's why I don't buy off it.
Silence hits the room. Thanks, Jer.
Yeah.
PlayerUnknown's Battleground has canceled its PC event due to a critical error.
Because it's doo-doo?
And, yeah, I agree. When they put it out on... this game is so fucking broken. So when Bluehole updated its Twitter and said... On the PUBG, they're like, "Hey guys, we're canceling this due to a critical error." The most liked comment was, "Your game is a critical error."
Damn! I hope they use like some weird gif from Napoleon Dynamite of the brother, like
God.
Wow, that is savage but true.
That's all I have to do is report about that. Like,
you've had 2 years to work on this.
It's fucking not fixed yet. It's
millions of dollars.
Yeah. Speaking of millions of dollars, Call of Duty Black Ops 4 made over $500 million in 3 days.
Call of Duty sucks. I'm gonna buy it, but Call of Duty sucks. That is a majority of the fan base of gamers.
This was a really well received a game from the beta.
From all the people who played it. Yeah, yeah. They no complaints.
Right now, Reddit is on fire because of the tick rate issue and the server issue with Call of Duty. So Call of Duty needs to make some updates. There are definitely some weapons that are broken and very OP. Some of the spawn points are very broken.
Yes.
And there's some exploits that need to get fixed. But I think that within a week or two, that stuff gets updated and everything is fine. But right now, definitely the 12-year-olds are very angry.
Well, I mean, the 12-year-olds are always angry. That's true. There's no stopping that.
That's very true.
They're all raping our mothers.
Whoa!
That's what they're, hey, they tell me that on Xbox Live, right?
Well, that's where all the 12-year-olds play.
They're doxing me
Isn't that right, Mike?
Yeah, because I know the first thing about what like 12-year-old gamers think. Yeah.
Damn
kids.
I think it'll be fine. It's gonna be like every other Call of Duty is. I will give this with Call of Duty. They really do stay on top of their updates and everything like that. And they've got something special with Blackout right now.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, it's beating the shit out of even Fortnite, right? It's even like it's beating Fortnite and Twitch.
And it was. I don't know if it is right now. Let me double check. It's prime time right now. So let's browse.
I'll be honest. I haven't played Fortnite since Blackout came out. I haven't had a reason to go back. The one thing I hated about Fortnite, because I was never any good at it, nor did I care about it, was the building.
Yep.
And playing Blackout without having to worry about the building and the game actually is fun to play. Like, yeah. I go to Blackout every time now.
Fortnite has 194,000 viewers and Black Ops 4 has 163,000.
Okay.
So it's neck and neck. I think once they fix a few things for Blackout, I think those numbers jump again. Plus, yeah. But none of the big time streamers are on right now for Blackout. So, like Dr.
That's
Disrespect,
like a normal. They do that during the day, don't they?
They do it midday to night because that's when they'll capture everybody. All right. So, last story of the night. Then we'll get out of here. There's a new console coming out. It's a retro console. It's called the Mega SG, and it'll play all your old Sega games on modern TVs, and it will render all the games in 1080p. No. Okay. Isn't that cool? And it's not an emulator.
Yeah, that's because it. What? Oh, just because it does not. It doesn't have anything built in. It's just straight up like a.
You plug like you put your actual games into it, into the console, and it renders them at 1080p and everything. It's awesome. So
well, there you go.
Yeah, you can
that's
play.
That's cool that you could take a normal cartridge and do that. Yeah.
It uses. You can also play the Sega CD and the Mega CD on them. Unfortunately. Right now it's not supported by the 32X is not supported, but it looks like it may come, may happen.
Oh so, God.
And, yeah,
it'll run you one of those down.
It'll run you $189.
Oh, fuck out of here with that shit.
I mean, there is a certain section of gaming collectors who who have the original cartridges or want to be able to play them on their, you know, their TVs and stuff. And this is right up their alley. 'Cause it's, you know, I think it's HDMI out or something, and you know, it's the, of course, the Genesis was known for its awesome audio chipset, so this kind of incorporates that, and it's not dumbing down the audio at all. So there's a niche audience for it. I think that's awesome. If I'd have known, you know, 20 something years ago that this kind of thing would have happened, I would have kept all my Genesis games, and I would have taken advantage of that. But also, you can do it all now on a PC. Just fine. So.
I have so many memories of a shop that I used to walk by all the time, and it was a pawn shop, but they had a room full of just video games, and they had a whole box of nothing but Sega games, and I used to buy everything from there because it would be super cheap. Nice. And I love that store. I miss it so much. Like it just this feeling that you had when you go in there. And we're like, I want to get that Sega game right now.
We used to have a place when I was a kid. We'd go rent our movies and games from called Holiday Video, and they had an area where you could pay. God, I don't remember. This was early 90s.
Oh, you just got called out, Mike.
By
your wife. She said, "Not sure what Mike's talking about. We still have a full box of Sega games and the Sega."
Well, that's like her collection of stuff. That wasn't mine.
Oh, so it's not yours. It's
it's not
you're
all
married.
My games. Like my Mutant League Football and stuff's gone, and she's got like her Echo the Dolphin collection and stuff that we can play on there. And Toe Jam and Earl because she loves those.
Yes, Toe Jam. I love the rap mode. You just go
Comic
there, just
Zone.
But yeah, we had this place that you could go pay for, and you pay like $5, and you could play any you know game on a Genesis or Super NES or whatever. They had all the consoles, and they had huge selection of games, and like I play the hell out of Mutant League Football and the older Maddens and stuff like that. Like that was I was a Genesis kid. You know, everybody else had like a Super NES. I had a Sega Genesis.
I was definitely a Genesis kid.
Yeah, me too. I do like the old Maddens when there'd be an injury on the field and the ambulance would drive out and hit everyone and then like pull off the field and hit more people.
Do you know why I was a Genesis kid? Because in Mortal Kombat, you actually had blood and fatalities and nastiness. And on on Super NES, it was all, we got to tone it down.
It was sweat.
It was just sweat, yeah.
And then they replaced most of the fatalities with just shitty uppercuts because they couldn't like do any of the fatalities. The only ones they got to keep was like Kano's because he reaches into the chest, but he doesn't pull anything out. And then Liu Kang with that cartwheel kick or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's the only ones that stayed really for the most. Oh, and Scorpions because it was just you turned them into ash. But
now you understand why it had friendships.
Friendships. Yeah, right?
Babality.
Oh, man. Those were fun. I used to love like when those were first discovered. Because when Mortal Kombat 2 first came out, those weren't in it. And then they had an updated like a revision. And then they threw that stuff in. So like going to the arcade, it, like you never knew when that shit was updated. You just walk all of a sudden, you know, like the cool kid in the arcade knows. So he's like doing that on everybody and everyone's seeing babies and friendship. And you're like, what is this? Oh, man, to relive that experience.
All right. That's going to be the show for us this week. I hope that everybody enjoyed it. Stay tuned because Mike's got a story to tell about Fred Durst.
Yeah. Thanks for being on, Mike. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. I hope I didn't bomb too badly.
Judging by the chat, I would say you bombed, but you brought it back.
Okay.
You know, everybody was calling for your wife and they were like, bring in Deb, Bring in Deb.
And by everyone, it was just Ratty, really.
That's what I chant in the bedroom, is just bring in Deb.
So, oh, no.
That's fair. Birds of a feather.
No, you were fantastic guest host. And we thank you for coming. And maybe one day when Doug has its third kid, you can come back. Until then, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Michael.
Oh, yeah. Lots of lug nuts. Lots of love, hugs, and all that bullshit.